story today, the Torah wrote Rabbi Yehuda Steinberg.
Good morning. It's been some time since I've been here last. I don't know.
You noticed.
Yes. I think because of my father, I've been busy with the Amud, it's not as easy. It's a very, very beautiful sefer, Ho'ish al Achoimo. It's a three-volume set about Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. Now they've translated a lot of it into an English book called Guardian of Jerusalem. Very, very beautiful book. It says their story about the greatness of Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld as follows, that the Teplikavov, his name was Shunshan Aaron Polanski, he came from Europe, and he came from Europe to Yerushalayim. And he struggled financially, something terrible. George was hungry. So what he decided to do is, many to be the Chum in Yerushalayim, so they'll go from Rav to Rav and say, over a shtickel Torah, maybe somebody will give him a shtela, maybe support him. You know, that was his way of introducing himself. So in the Sefer Ish al Achoimo describes that he went from one Tamzachon to the next, and he gave him all, he was a huge, huge goal. And everyone he went to, he would say a whole shtickel Torah, and they would all argue, discuss, question, answer, back and forth. Until he went to be also Chaim Sonnenfeld. Because Chaim Sonnenfeld sat, listened quietly, and later on in the day sent him money in the post, delivered money to his house. And he said afterwards, everybody else listened with their minds. And they heard a shtickel Torah. So then they started thinking, is it right, is it wrong? You know, what can we add to it? What can we learn from it? Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, he listened with his heart. And he realized, why is this person coming to tell me a shtickel Torah? Not because he knows I need more Dibur Torah, because he needs some help. So therefore, and he was very impressed. He said it made a big impression on him. This is the story that says Ish al Achoimo. I have them. I bought out the sefer from Megillas Rus. Now my main intention was that people should buy it. But what happens is, most times people come, I say, oh, you bought a sefer on Rus? I'll tell you I bought on Rus. The Maisa, it's so wonderful, it's very nice, it's always geschmack, but that's not the main intent. But usually, the vort is in my sefer anyway. Or if it isn't, fine. But every so often, rarely, there's a certain vort which I think to myself, that vort, I truly regret that it's not in my sefer. I only remember one such vort, and I want to share this vort, because it's not in my sefer, and it's a very interesting vort. Gilas Rus describes that Nomi was leaving Moab, and she was coming to Eretz Yisrael, and the Pasuk says that Rus clung to her, and Orpah kissed her. That's the words of the Pasuk. We don't know exact words of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, oh, you know it? Ristov Kaboh. But what's the exact words of the whole Pasuk? Oh, very good. But Tishak Orpah lechamayisa. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. Rus dov kaboh, Rus remained attached to her. The Gemara inserted that from Beis Amud Beis says a very interesting observation, that when that happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared, let the sons of the one that kissed fall and die in the hands of the one that remained clinging to her. That's the words of the Gemara. And Chazal mean that we know that David was descended from Rus, and David the Melech killed a number of great giants, four giants, all descended from Orpah. I've explained this once before, that for like a giant is like nowadays having a child who's like wins the Olympics or becomes president of the United States. For a goy, that would be considered a big reward. And Orpah received these four giants as rewards because of the fact that she did her own small acts of chesed, the four steps she took, the four tears she shed. Okay. And those four great giants that Orpah was zeichet to have, all fell in the hands of Rus, the descendant of Rus. That's the simple understanding of the Gemara. What's difficult about the Gemara is, why does the Gemara use this in language? What's the language of here? The descendants, the ones that kissed, should all fall in the hands of the one that remained attached. Why does the Chazal use this specific language? This is the word that I heard. That if you look at it from the outside, superficially, you see Orpah kissing. That looks very nice. She's kissing. She's caring. And Ruth, she didn't see that kissing. She just stands there. She just stands. She remains with her. And superficially, you could think to yourself that the one that's kissing, they're the ones that are really attached. They're the great ones. And Ruth is just standing there. Well, she's not actually, she's not showing that same love. What we'd call it in English is that what Orpah was doing was lip service. She was showing a certain, like, kissing a certain pretense that she really cares, but she wasn't following through. While Ruth, even though she did not give this whole show of the lip service, she did follow through. And this is what Chazal was saying, let the ones that, the descendants of the one that kissed, fall in the hands that remained attached. It's a very beautiful Musa Haskell, is that when a person, many times you hear of people that they've got tremendous lip service, they're ready to talk grand, talk wonderfully. But the Maisa, when it comes to it, how connected are they? How much are they makbid to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them to do? And therefore Chazal emphasized it by putting it in the terms of the language of that the ones who kissed fall in the hands of the one who remained attached. It's very nice to kiss, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the attachment, I'm looking for the commitment. Once read, it was quite some years ago, which I hope I remembered correctly, Moshe Star once wrote. It was quite thought-provoking. He said that on the same day, he was asked to speak to a group of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. I think it must be the former Jewish one at least. And then the same day, he was asked to speak at some Torah gathering. The same day. And he went to speak from one to the other. And it was very strange. He said, this is what he writes. So as he went to speak at the Torah convention, he felt a little bit like a salesperson. But some days you have somebody who wants to sell you a car, and you have no intention of buying it, but he's a really, really good salesperson. This is what he does. And what happens is, so you enjoy hearing the spiel, almost, so to speak. So what happens is, you let him speak because you think to yourself, like, you know, it's interesting, it's nice to watch, but not because you actually planning to change anything dramatically because of this spiel. When he went to the other group, he felt there was like a thirst, a desire to hear how can they be saved, what can he say to them that will actually change them. It was very interesting that he put it in such a strong language. And that's a certain amount. Sometimes a person has to be aware that sometimes he can do things which look very good, looks very nice, but it's only lip service, it's kissing. Shmuel says, that's not what I'm interested in. I want the devukabah. I want vustovkabah, that means more to me. The Chazal gives another explanation. The Yalkut says that why do we read Rus on Shavuos? The reason is because that on Shavuos we got the day of Matan Torah, and Rus exerted herself and she pushed herself to be mekabel, gave us even through the suffering that she struggled. She had to walk barefoot from way off there. So the Pasuk says when Boaz gave her food, Atuicha Batispa. The Al-Sheikh writes that it was the first time she had a satisfying meal in a very long time. So you can imagine that the hardship that she went through, all to become part of Klal Yisrael. And Chazal will teach us that we have to read the Megillah of Rus and Shavuos, because that's the message that we're supposed to be having. Okay. I saw a story which really struck me. I'm celiac, I'm allergic to gluten. But even without that, it's a very beautiful story. There was a child that was celiac in Eretz Yisrael. And he was struggling, and the mother would bake him, she'd look up recipe, whatever she could, she tried to make him nice foods. But what would happen is, every time he'd go to school, and there'd be a birthday, and the children would give out bisli, can't eat it. And cake, he can't eat it. And he was struggling, it was a very, very, it came worse, the situation just got worse and worse. The child would sneak, when the mother wasn't watching, he would eat the gluten, and he'd get sucked out with stomach aches, and she would beg him, and she would shout at him. Everything she did, she tried her best to change things. That's what she did. And nothing worked. She did nicer food. It didn't make any difference. Eventually, she was a complete loss. She decided to take her son to Baal Neb Shnayim and Zichzadik Kodesh Levocha. So she thought, what would he say after all her pleadings and months, nobody could do it. Nobody could do anything. Baal Neb sat and he said, took the child's hand. He said to the child, what do you want to be when you get older? What do you want to be when you get older? The child was shy, Baal Neb. I want to be the next God of Ador, like a Barney. That's what the child said. Rav said, oh, that's a big, like he was like impressed. He said, I have a problem. He said, like this, I watch children nowadays, and the reality is that Chazal tell us that to become great, a person has to be able to say no to themselves. So Tosfos, so Chazal, actually Adam is spalled, should to be very constantly say, Chmeyov, he's spalled that Ma'adan Mishun can be in Tzemeyov. That to be zeichet to greatness, you have to be able to give up on something. You can never say no to yourself, you're never really saying yes. It's an interesting concept to think about. That if you want everything, you're not showing that you really want something. It's only when you're willing to give up something for something, that's when you're showing that something's important. So the problem is nowadays we have children, we're making it very easy. We have Shabbos lights in case it comes to fight at night, Chatzon, it shouldn't be dark for us. We have different foods on Pesach that it shouldn't be difficult for us. On Sukkot, we make everything very comfortable, make it easier and easier and easier. So where the next Gedolim going to come from? So he said to the child, maybe they'll come from you, because you have to say no to yourself regarding gluten. And what happened was, the child stopped, that was it. He never cheated anymore, he listened to his mother. Very beautiful machshava, very beautiful way of putting it. And Chazal are telling us that's part of the message of Mus. They can't limit of Mus. Chazal say, Amigila hazeh, in b'loi tumah, b'loi tahor, b'loi yisr, b'loi heter. He doesn't have not tumah, not tahor, not isr, not heter. V'lom lichtavo, why was it written? Chazal tell us that is the main message of the Megillah, to tell us the schar of Gimli Chasod. I've spoken about this topic many times, but I want to say one thing which was chalish to be more this year than other years, and that is like this. When we picture in our minds chesed, picture in your mind, I say to somebody is a Baal chesed. What's the first picture that comes into your mind? I imagine it would be either giving money, imagine somebody standing at the door and someone's collecting, giving a large sum of money, or achdos ha-sorichim. That would be in your mind the greatest, or probably the main acts of chesed. It is very interesting that these are barely mentioned in the Megillah of Rus. Barely mentioned. It is true, but yes, it does allow Lechet Shekhan Peor to Rus. He did invite her for one meal. But he never took out Chaim Kaufman's Echzadik Vachon. He used to always ask, why didn't he take out his wallet? Give a proper amount of money. He didn't do that. And Rus never did any of that for Nomi. The main Megillah is about Rus. Rus never gave money to her mother-in-law. Never once gave money to her mother-in-law. And Rus never once invited her mother-in-law to her meal. So the main acts of Chesed, which we imagine stock and Achnosis Orchim, are not in Megillah's Rus. Even though Chazal tells us, this is the Megillah of Chesed. The answer is chesed is much, much more multifaceted. It's much more pictured, much more understanding of what is chesed. Chesed is the ability to think about somebody else. To think, what does somebody else need? Chazal said, she saw what her mother-in-law needed. She saw what her mother-in-law needed. I've been reading, it's an unbelievable book. It's, I think, by Judaica Press, and a biography of Victor Miller's Echzadik Bevochan. It's written by a Rav. I don't know if there are other biographies, but this specific biography. It's got very interesting stories about Victor Miller. Like, it was a Talmud of his who lived with him for many years. One of the stories there, struck by stuff, it says like this, that one time, Victor Miller was invited to a bris. And this person said to him, you can say brochas. It's nice kibbutz to say brochas. Victor Miller said, no, I've got a cold. It's not good for the baby. Catch a cold. And so Victor Miller was quite backward about health. He used to say that, in my youth, people used to laugh at me, but now no longer they're laughing. Only I remain. Okay, that was his. But the Maisa, he said, I've got a cold. The Moyol got irritated and said, brochas, you don't need to actually, you stand to the side, no, I've got a cold, no brochas. Fine. Everybody thought, okay, it's health. Afterwards, the father of the baby came up to him to thank him very lot. Anybody chap why? What happened was, another rabbi had come in just before the bris. And he suddenly noticed the father of the baby getting all stressed. And he chap, the reason he's getting stressed is because he wants to give this person something, but he doesn't know how to because of the will of that. So what he did was, he said, I've got cold, and he took himself out of the equation. But the point is, it was a chokhmah, he saw what was needed. And it's interesting because Rus does similar ways in a few different ways. That when she comes back to Nomi on the first day, she brings Nomi food, and she says, she came home, to her mother-in-law Normie, and she's like, eat bad boyas, and I had leftovers. Why did she call it leftovers? Why did she call it leftovers? She could have come home to Normie and said, you should know, I was very, very hungry. But I knew that you're also hungry, they had no food. So I put away a bit of food that I needed for myself and gave it to you. Both would have felt very good. How would Normie have felt? Instead, she says, those leftovers, I was satisfied. This is leftovers, nothing for me to do with it. Nothing left to do. And a few times she does this, and she comes back to Normie the following night after she had been with Boaz at night, and she had been into the barn. She comes back and she says, don't come empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Even though Boaz never mentioned the mother-in-law. It's a chokhbah, the chokhbah of the chesed. The chokhbah of the chesed. It is interesting that the Bach wrote a sefer on Gil Shmuel, on Gil HaSvus. He makes a big chiluk on the, when Rus and Normie come back to Eretz Yisrael. And the Pasuk says, Vatelachdoshlem, they both walk together at Boyonah Beislechem. They walk together from Moyov to Eretz Yisrael. And he talks about at length the gallus of walking together. Walking together. To the end of the day, for Normie, Rus was an embarrassment. She wasn't yet Jewish. She's walking with a non-Jewish woman. For Rus, she was in a hurry to get there. She hadn't eaten. And she has this old mother-in-law that she has to walk slowly with. And yet, each one knew that that's not nice. You've got a chance to walk with somebody, to accompany somebody that's also a chesed, to accompany somebody that's a chesed. I was visiting with a very elderly person in London, and I was amazed how they were mapped about this levoya, walking these four steps. Chaim Kineski just saw that he was also very mapped about it. It's a mitzvah. Levoya is a mitzvah. To walk with somebody, it's a chesed, it's a chashivus. I also brought down a story, a sweet story, that there was a child, that a group of children used to go to school. Often, sometimes they would walk, sometimes they would take the bus. The bus would come. And what happened was, one day they were going to the bus, one of the boys is behind, and they're running to catch the bus, and a few get on, and a few miss it. One boy misses it. Not only misses it, but he trips on the way to run to catch the bus. So the children, so uncomfortable, they ask the bus driver to stop, he's not interested. So one of the boys, he asks to get up for the next stop. Why? He said, look, I can still get to school on time. At least, he missed the bus, at least I'll walk back to him, and I'll walk him to school so that he shouldn't be walking on his own, because he was only on the missed the bus. When the bus driver heard this, he drove back to pick up the boy that tripped and to catch. It's a chesed of walking together. These are the chesedim of us. It is interesting that the Chazal, Hamon Brochus, Soita, the Gemara mentions, it's end of Brochus, and the Gemara there says that we learn from Boaz that how you greet people, right? Boaz said to them, Hashem Imochem, let's read the words of the apostle exactly. Vayom elekoitzim Hashem Imochem, Hashem is with you. Vayom ulo yivorecho Hashem shodenshu. And then afterwards he speaks to Rus, Shemaat Biti, he speaks to her as a daughter, even though she wasn't his daughter. She speaks to, whenever Boaz speaks, he always speaks in a very complimentary, kind way. And Chazal say that when you greet somebody, you should always greet them by the name of Hashem, with the name of Hashem. That's what they say, Shalom Aleichem, Shalom is the name of Hashem. I just want to say very briefly, the Nachas Yosef writes, a very, very interesting Nakuda. Think about it, Nachas Yosef writes, that the one that Don tells us, a bit of a cheshba the Musa, that the one Don says, that they made up words from the Don, koinamus. What's the word koinam? The word koinam is like a mispronunciation of the word korban. Why did they make up, why did Chazal make up a new word? What's wrong with the word korban? The answer is like this. A person might one day say korban Hashem. And what's wrong with saying korban Hashem? Because one day he might say Lahashem korban. And what's wrong with saying Lahashem korban? He might die, or something might happen after the word Lahashem. And then you'll have said the word Lahashem incorrectly. For no reason. So because of all these chashoshas, they decide to make up a word, call it koinam. And now, when a person wants to make something also, he says, this is the koinam, instead of saying, oh, no, that's the Chazal said in one. All this, because we don't want Chas V'Shalom a person to misuse the name of Hashem, because that's a terrible thing. And yet Chazal tells us that when you meet a friend, you have to do it with the name of Hashem. That's the chashivus of it. Again, in this book, Rabbi Miller, he writes that Rabbi Miller said that there was a person that came up to Shammai, and he said to him that today you got, for that specific day, you got a huge amount of schar, tremendous amount of reward, all kinds of mitzvahs. He says that learning, and he said, I never did any of these things. Why am I getting reward for it? So they say to him, because on that day, after davening, you went up to somebody, you greeted them nicely and warmly, and when you did that, then what happens is, that it made the person in a better mood. And then afterwards, Rosh Hashiva came connected by him, and he gave him a bigger donation. The Rosh Hashiva himself was more enthusiastic, and he gave a better shir. So all of this is all in the Cheshbonis. He writes there, Ba'arichus, so the Midrash, the whole of this, and this is all chilek of the Cheshbonis of Shammai. I want to come on to a different Nekuda. I just want to say like this, that Boaz, when he speaks to Rus, when she comes to him at night, it's amazing to think that he says, Vayomer bruchat la Hashem, blessed are you to Hashem, pity my daughter. Hitavt chasdei choachvei min harishon. Your latter kindness is greater than your first kindness. The chesed you're doing now is greater than the first one. The Alshech and others, they ask the question, let's consider which one's a greater chesed. The first chesed was leaving a palace to go without any money to a stranger's land and giving up all the comforts. All for what? To help that their mother-in-law shouldn't go home by herself if she should have nobody to look after her. That was the chesed. The chesed was to give up everything, all for the sake that the mother-in-law should have somebody to look after her, to have somebody to collect. Rus would go collecting for her. Instead of normally having to go to collect, Rus would go collecting for her, bring her the grain that she collected in the field. The latter chesed was to ask Boaz to marry her. Which one would we have said is greater? Which one would we have said is greater? Of course, we would have said the first one's greater, but much, much greater. She gave up everything. Okay, asking Boaz to marry her, she could have wanted to marry somebody else, so she chose to marry according to what her mother-in-law thought would be better for the family. But to give up everything, it's just their comfort. And the answer that Al-Sheikh says is that the first chesed normally needed. You need somebody to go collecting for your food. You need it. How else would nobody have come back? She would have to go collecting for food. And an old lady, go collecting, like a shukhapir, would be very, very difficult. The second chesed wasn't needed. Since it wasn't needed, because at the end of the day, it was only to keep the family name going. A chesed which is not quite as needed is a much greater chesed. Because that shows true greatness. When you hear a story and you're helping somebody to do extra, that is a much, much greater chesed. And it's also interesting how the language that Boaz uses from a chazaka and to that's a big avoid of the avoid of Gnesus. Okay, I just want to say like this: Moshe was zechut gasef on Shalshim. We've got there a pasuk about Shavuos. So I want to talk a little bit about the tapuach ba'atzayah can do it bin abonim. Tziloi chvadeti liyoshavti ufir yoy mosuk lechiki. It's in Perek Beis pasuk. In Perek Beis Pasuk Gimel, Ketapuach Vatzeiaya like an apple tree in the forest, Kein Doidi Ben Abonim says by the beloved Hakadosh Baruch Hu between all other gods, Betziloi Chimadeti VeYoshavti in His shadow in His shade I desired and I sat Upiyo Mosuk Lechiki and His food is sweet to my palate. I love His mitzvahs. That's the Nimshul. And there's many different halls on this pasuk. There are a few. One very nice one is for the Medrash. The Medrash says that the difference between, I've actually once seen an apple tree, I don't know if you've seen apple trees. Apple trees, they don't have a lot of leaves. They don't have a lot of leaves. You go to oak tree, you get much better leaves. You can probably Google it nowadays. If you look at apple trees, they have a lot of fruit, but not many leaves. And the Medrash says like this, the goyim, moshe, it's a moshe. They saw the apple tree, what's it worth? No shade, no protection. And the Yidden, they said to themselves, but later it will produce apples. Later it will produce apples. And Shai is like this, it goes into the Shemesh a little bit about the difference between what Yidden behave and how Goyim behave. And that is like this, that a Goyim wants instant pleasure, comes to the apple tree, and there's no protection, there's nothing, it's useless. So he walks away. The fact that in 2 months' time he's going to have nice apples, the oak tree is very nice, it's protection, it's shady, that's what he wants, and he sits under the shade. Chayli Yisrael saying, look, Tapuach, we are ready to wait, it takes a few months, but we're ready and we'll eventually be zeichet to those very tasty apples. They always say that famous marshal of the soldier, the Yiddish soldier goes to save the night, and he comes back and he tells his other, the Yiddish soldier comes back into the barracks, and he tells them, you know, well, save the night, my Yiddish family, you can't imagine how nice they were to me. So there's a Goyish soldier there. He thinks to himself, that's a good way to get a good meal. So off he goes to the save night. You all know the story, that he goes there, and make kiddush, that's very nice, and a cup of wine, shmak, but then afterwards gets a tiny piece of radish, he thinks, so that's not much, and then they talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and then he gets a piece of more, so he runs out. And he tells the soldier the next day, you know, you fooled me. That you waited a few more minutes, you'd have got Shulchan Aruch. But it's, I don't know if it's a true story or not, but it's definitely a Musa'athir. Ketapuach, let's say, yeah, Klal Yisrael are ready to wait. They're ready to enjoy the fruit, even if it is. That's a big avodah, which a Yid knows himself that I'm not here for now, I'm here to the avodah for the future, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to get reward from Hashem. Okay, that's one word in Ketapuach Tzayam. But there's an interesting expression, U'piyoy mosuk lechiki. The fruit is sweet to my palate. The fruit is sweet to my palate. Imagine you write it out, and the hostess makes a very nice meal, that's what she makes. Chicken and potatoes. And what happens is you say, the chicken is very tasty to my palate. What do you mean it's tasty to your palate? Either it's tasty or it's not tasty. You can say it's very tasty chicken. Why do you say it's tasty to my palate? So it's worth thinking about. So there's a story about Rami Steinman, he says like this, that a boy once came to him, started crying, and he said to him, does the Rosh Hashiva like steak? Rale was Polish from Ramazza, so he can do it. Anyway, what do you want? What are you pushing me, driving me mad? Pushing, eventually he says, what do you want from me? He says, some people like steak, some people don't like steak. Some people like tur, I don't like tur. That's what he said to Rale. I don't like tur, I don't like it. So that's what's bothering me. You say it with a tur spirit, I'm telling you it isn't. So Rale said to me, imagine somebody's got a very lot of sores in their mouth. And then you put a drop of honey into the mouth. And they say, ow, it's painful, it's sore, they don't enjoy it. So they'll say to the honey is not sweet. You'll argue with them, you say to them, honey is sweet. But what happens is, there's something wrong with the palate, there's something wrong with the mouth. The mouth has become damaged over eating other things or illnesses, and that's why it can't taste the sweetness of the honey. You see, he said, it's not pshat, but the tur is not sweet, like you're saying. He said to the bocha, tur is sweet. Only sometimes it can be that a person has damaged themselves and made it unpleasant for themselves. So Klal Yisrael say, that to my mouth it is sweet, meaning that Klal Yisrael have a mouth which appreciates the sweetness of Torah, sweetness of Torah. Our palate can enjoy it, can appreciate it. And that's a big avodah, is to make sure that the palate stays sweet. I once heard or read that there are some people that have as a panosa, they taste wine. In order for them to get paid for it. And then they'll say whether the white wine is good or not good, whether it needs more sugar, whatever it needs to be done to it. There's a name for the job even. But these people, they're very, very careful. They don't have any salty things, they have sharp things. They have to be very, very careful to keep that the mouth, the palate should be one that's able to discern a good taste or not a good taste. Klal Yisrael is saying that the difference between them and the goyim is pure mosuk lechiki. The fruit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sweet to my palate because I've kept my palate and I've enjoyed it and this is what I appreciate. And just one final word, that this is from the Tziv, with Tziloi Chimadati, just an instant word, Tziloi Chimadati. He says the ikka is the fruit of the apple tree, the fruit. So what does it mean, B'tzilei Chimadeti, that I enjoyed the shadow, the protection of the tree? That's not the main part of the apple tree. You don't go to the apple tree to sit under its protection. So the answer is that the main thing within Torah is the halachas, the mitzvahs, the avodah. But a person, when it comes to culture, other things, a person may think to himself, when it comes to halacha, I look in the Torah. When it comes to having a good time, when it comes to learning about how to have good manners, things like that, I look at other sport. I look at the Gerusha books. It's Tziloi Chimadati. A person has to look to be always under the protection of Torah, finding Torah to be the thing which gives them pleasure, it gives them protection. And the person has to learn even the behavior, how to be, the Menschlichkeit should also come from Torah. We should all be Zeichetaker, that we should learn the Avodah of Okilasus. That's the main message. That Chazal say, that they don't sit, not with the protection of this world, with the Malachim, but only with Tzor Shakai, which we say, with all the vachas of those who are Gemini Chasodim. And very good. Thank you.